Welcome to the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast, where we explore the fundamental abilities and insights that make us better humans. Here's your host, Christina Eanes.
Hello, everyone. I'm Christina Eanes. Thank you for joining us with this week's episode of Essential Skills for Humaning. For today's topic, which I find fascinating, it's about navigating shitstorms, we have author Liz Long. Welcome, Liz.
Thanks, Christina. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, well, now, can you share a little bit about your background with our listeners and viewers before we jump into conversation?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I never had it on my bucket list to write a book. life just unfolded that way. I had some childhood trauma, as the majority of us have in our lives. And for me, things caught up and I was spiraling in a depression in 2020. And I impulsively checked myself into a private recovery center for depression and stayed there for a couple of months. And when I came out, I spent the first 4 or 5 months integrating back into my real world and decided I wanted to share my journey and the things that worked for me in the hopes that I would inspire and help other people struggling, not necessarily with depression or anxiety. I think a lot of my readers just may be wondering, is this all there is? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love that. Let's jump in. So I know obviously we want people to read the book.
Yes.
And by the way, folks, it's Navigating Shitstorms, How to Find Your True Path When Life Gets Rough. And we'll share a little bit more about how to get that later. But in your book, I love the metaphors or analogies or whatever there are, similes, you know, whatever those words are, of, you know, going from Victimville to, no, Victim Town to Freedomville.
Yes.
So where do we start this conversation? Because there's so much that we could cover.
There's a lot to unpack. Yes. One of the things that the metaphors or whatever, and I don't even know what, what truly the right term for it is, but my hopes in presenting the information in that way is a couple of things. I think that the places in Victim Town will spark a new awareness for people to recognize where they are and the loop that they're on with the dialogue in their own head. And nobody can facilitate change or improvement or get better or learn lessons until we first understand where we really are. So that's one of the things that naming those places does for the world. The other thing is that it destigmatizes some mental health concepts, and it makes it a little easier to open conversations either about how we're doing and also to support other people in our world that we love. We can ask questions in a way that makes conversation a lot less vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of the places in Victim Town, this fictitious world that I've created that describes how the voices in our head sound are the control factory, where I lived most of my life. Some of the other places are the guilt and shame cafe, the denial trails, the anger gas station, the sorrow swampland.
I love that. Yeah. And it's interesting. So I also love how you mentioned, so it's okay to be in Victim Town, you know, from time to time.
Yeah.
And to not judge ourselves, but we notice it. Right. And then we move on. Like, I love personally the denial trails.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's one of my favorite.
I hiked a lot of miles on those trails, Christina, let me tell you. Yeah. I mean, Victim Town is where we go when we're not quite ready to face the pain. And a certain amount of time there is inevitable. It's the human experience.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem to go and hang out at any of those places for a short amount of time while we gather our wits or, enable the other support systems that we need. However, when we hang out at any of those places for too long, that's when real problems surface and we get stuck there. And that's not where we want to be living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how do we first know that we're even in victim town?
Yeah. That's the awareness piece. Mm-hmm. So I talk a lot about the two voices that we all have in our heads, mm-hmm. that internal conversation and the one voice, the victim town voice. And in each of the places in victim town, I give that voice a name. For example, in the control factory, it's the boss. Mm-hmm. On the denial trails, it's the dirt bags. Mm-hmm. That's the voice that, that the mission is to keep us afraid. Mm-hmm. That's the voice that that stops us from being who we truly are. It's the voice that makes us feel really shitty. Mm-hmm. And we all have another voice. I call it our heart voice. Mm-hmm. And other people have named it different things. And you don't have to call it your heart voice. You can call it whatever you want. My point is that it's the other voice that we were all born with. And that's the voice that is founded in love. And that's the voice that intuitively knows, and uniquely for all of us, no two hearts are the same. No two heart voices will have the same messaging. But it's what's truly our path and mm-hmm. what will bring us the peace, love, freedom, and joy that we all yearn for.
Yeah. I love that. So I'm hearing fear or some sort of negative emotion could be an indication that we are in victim town. We need to look a little further.
Yes. Yes. And we can feel it in our body. You know, mm-hmm. it's not just our emotions that will tell us what voice we're listening to or that we're hanging out in victim town. You know, we feel it also with an upset stomach or a headache or just an uneasiness that it doesn't whatever we're doing just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Now, speaking from someone who's been very deep into the wilderness on the trails of denial, how can you just suggestions for, you know, someone is so deep, everything's fine. It's fine. I'm not feeling negative. And then all of a sudden, like, I don't know, a major medical issue happens or all of a sudden there's like, boom, how do we stop before we get to that point? Any suggestions?
It's a learning process, Christina. Yeah. And we all have to find our own way. So the paths out of victim town to Freedomville, those routes and destination, and the way we get there is a little bit different for all of us. Yeah. And in my book, I share the things that worked for me. And I think if we embrace an attitude of curiosity to try out different modalities, and there are more being added every day. I mean, there are so many different things available for people that are struggling, from hypnotherapy to psychotherapy to meditation and nature therapy, art therapy. And I mean, there's so many different things to try. And, we all have to find our own path, but there are definitely things. So I talk in my book about the heart voice power plan. Mm-hmm. When we can take proactive steps to strengthen our heart voice and learn ways to listen to that voice more than the shitty voice in our mm-hmm. head. And lastly, find the courage to act on that voice's recommendation, we can live a life spending more time in Freedomville than in victim town.
Yeah.
Right. But the trails are busy and we're always on the trails going from one place to another. And you know, the I call it navigating shitstorms because the reality of our time in this human form on Earth is that we can never stop shit from happening.
Yeah.
all we can do is learn how to become better responders mm-hmm. and to listen to the voice that has our back, the voice that really knows what's best for us.
Yeah, I love yeah. that. Now, I also love in your book, you mentioned, so a lot of this stuff stems from childhood, right, that we're trying to overcome.
Yes.
And myself included, a lot of people think, well, I didn't have, you know, like huge childhood traumas or nothing that I remember. So, you know, do I qualify? But you mentioned in the book, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit about that. So can you share a little bit about
yeah,
childhood
you know,
trauma?
When I, in a nutshell, my childhood was about a close family member. She technically was my aunt, but we were raised more like sisters because of the age difference. And when I was 6 years old, she disappeared. She mm-hmm. vanished from University of Western Ontario. It was 1968. And for 5 years, we didn't know if she was alive or dead. And it was yeah. the not knowing for 5 years that really threw everybody into a shitstorm. And my mom.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My mom became the head liaison with the police and private investigators and psychics and all the other reaching out we did to try and find answers. And so I was in the middle of that mm-hmm. of that chaos and shitstorm. And then I mean I always knew I was collateral damage. I didn't think much about it. I didn't make the connection between that and how I was suffering and the challenges I had as an adult. Mm-hmm. And when I came out of the place, I did a lot of research about childhood trauma. And mm-hmm. the thing that surprised me the most was that the thing that had the most bearing on how we survive or how we ended up as adults was not mm-hmm. the severity of what happened to us as kids. Mm-hmm. It was how, as a child, we responded to it and the stories yeah. that we made up in our head about what it all meant. And so whatever happened in our childhood, it didn't have to be anything really severe. You know, it could have been something that, and let me just preface this too, because this is just a judgment and the judgment mm-hmm. about what is severe and what is not severe is, mm-hmm. is just a judgment and it's completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, because something for one child might have been really traumatic and difficult to process, whereas other children might have been resilient to mm-hmm. whatever that was. So it's a very unique experience. And when we take the judgment away, it's more about how we responded and the meanings we made up and the beliefs that we adopted and then the coping yeah. mechanisms that we added on. That's what's indicative as to how we fared as an adult, not what actually happened.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that you say that because I know there's people out there putting judging voices on themselves.
Right?
You know, I didn't have this huge childhood trauma. I don't understand why I feel unloved or whatever the, you know, the three main themes are, right?
Yeah. Well, that's a voice yeah. we all fight. And that's,
yes.
that's a voice that was in my head when I was on my way to checking myself into the place. Then my voice said, you know, You shouldn't be going there. The people there are going to have real problems, mm-hmm. right? You know, and I was saying my problems weren't bad enough, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody
those darn
has
voices.
That, right?
yeah. yes. Well, and then I almost in Victim Town, there's a Meditation Meadow and Epiphany Hospital. I love these location stuff, by the way. I almost saw those as kind of like a transition to coming more towards Freedomville.
Yeah. I purposefully put the Meditation Meadow in Victim Town because that's always a place of reprieve, no matter mm-hmm. what's going on in our world or in our head. The meditating is more about, is about tuning into our heart voice and to quiet the other voices
yeah.
in our head. And we can do that no matter where we are, no matter what our external circumstances are, no matter where we are or who we're with or what's happening, that is always an option that is readily available and it's free and we don't need anything else to have that experience. So that's that's a place of reprieve. It's the only place of reprieve in Victim Town. And Epiphany Hospital is not where you want to end up. Like that's a place where inevitably we'll land if we're hanging out in Victim Town for too long, because all of those unprocessed feelings and emotions will absolutely have an effect on our physical bodies. Yeah. And that's the real wake up call. And, and not everybody who lands in Epiphany Hospital decides that they want to get out of Victim Town and is ready to find their own path. Sometimes people don't. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's too late. There have been previous chances and we're out of chances, and we never know how many chances we're going to get. Right.
So then we make it to Freedomville and we're done, right? Where we've accomplished.
No, I'm kidding.
Good. But say more about that.
I wish it were that simple, and that destination was la 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 la.
We've arrived.
No. Okay, I'm done. Everything's gonna be glory from now on.
Nope.
No. So I have this little diagram, and I used it first to describe the life I've lived for over 50 years, and I call it the shitty life circle. And in the middle of it is this explosion where shit happens. And on the shitty life circle, we listen to and believe one of the Victim Town voices. And then we maintain our futile coping mechanisms that we learned in childhood, which none of that was our fault, by the way. Yeah. And then we come back and we stay in Victim Town, and then we come back around and shit happens. But there's another circle that I call the hearty life circle, where after shit happens, we choose to listen to the heart voice response to whatever has happened and adopt healthy coping mechanisms as our response. And then that guides us to Freedomville. But then we come around again. That's also a circle. And we also, we land back on the shit happens explosion. So it's a choice. And that choice takes intention, and that choice takes practice, because our brains are wired. The neural pathways exist to adopt the easiest, shortest route as our response. And that's the one that we're used to, the familiar one. And oftentimes, if we're hanging out in Victim Town, that's listening to the shitty voice in our head. And I think that even after we learn some specific lesson that we came here to learn, that then the universe presents us with opportunities to either, you know, test us, like, let's see if you really learned that lesson. You know, you think you did, you say you did, but you know what? I'm going to do some shit happening thing just to give you a chance to practice, or as a test to see if you really know what the heck you're doing. Right. So those things happen too. And, I think if we can just respond a little bit quicker or a little bit healthier every time we're presented with the opportunity. And so that's a choice. It's not a problem. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. When shit happens.
Yeah.
And that's a perspective that is going to set us on a trajectory to one or the other place, is that view of shit happening.
Yeah. And how we respond. I love it. And developing those healthy coping mechanisms. Well, and I also love, and you've mentioned that in our conversation so far too, that everyone goes through this.
Yeah.
So I love that in the towards the end, you mentioned about forgiveness. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. It's a tough one. It can be a tough one. And again, it's a choice, and it's something that we don't do for the benefit of whomever else. Yeah. It's entirely for our best interest. And I think the thing that I'm speaking for myself, but I also think it holds true for others. It's harder to forgive ourselves oftentimes than it is to offer that grace to other people. So, you know, and it's I think one of the things that is a requirement of getting out of victim town and spending more time in Freedomville is the learning to love ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that absolutely, I don't think anybody's exempt. That requires forgiveness.
Yeah. Yes. I know we've covered a lot in our time together, our short time together. And I know people are going to want to dive deeper because this is just awesome stuff. So can you share a little bit about how people can get the book, learn more about you, websites?
Anything? Yeah. Thanks, Christina. So the book's available on all the places, Amazon, Audible, Kindle, Barnes and Noble stores can, if they don't stock it, can order it in Canada, Indigo, and all the indie bookstores. If you'd like to stay in touch, you can sign up for my newsletter. I call it a newsletter. I don't know what it is. And it's random emails. It's to know what's happening in my world. Sometimes, you know, they might get a couple in a month. Sometimes a few months go by and I send nothing. But my website is lizlongwrites.com. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Oh, well, I will make sure and put that in the episode description as well.
Thanks. And social media is Navigating Shitstorms.
And love it.
Yeah. The book title is grabbing a lot of attention. I think that mm-hmm. it resonates with most people.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Okay. What is your final piece of advice?
So I think my final piece of advice is for people to be gentle with themselves and know that they're not alone, that we all have these voices in our head that make us afraid and play small, and, you know, just be you, do your best. And look forward to, I'm going to release in the next coming months, a companion guidebook for navigating shitstorms. That is not a prescriptive, this is what you need to do to get out of victim town, because we all have to find our own way, but more of a guide to help people reflect and apply the concepts from the book to their own childhood and their own life and their own circumstances.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking the time with us today. And thank you for writing this book. I know a lot of people are going to want to read it.
Oh, thanks so much, Christina. Yes. It's my hope it will help a lot of people.
Oh.
Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast. We hope you've gained valuable insights to enhance your journey as a human being. Remember, practice makes progress. Keep honing those essential skills. And until next time, keep being the best version of yourself. For more resources, visit eanstraining.com.